Man. Well, tonight is a little bit different message than what I normally do, or a type of message. If there's a scripture I'd say that we're going to go to tonight, I would say, if you want to follow along, it would be in Philippians chapter 3. But I'm going to be kind of bouncing around, and so it's going to be hard to follow me if you try to follow me. This past weekend, we had Easter. We celebrated that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. We celebrated the life that he has and that he brings to us as a result. As I was reflecting on the resurrection, I read all the gospel accounts of the resurrection and came across the well-known story about Thomas, who for 8 days did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. He was unconvinced that the resurrection of Jesus Christ had taken place. He said, I must touch Jesus. I must put my hands in his palms and in his side to be convinced that Jesus Christ is indeed alive. And I thought about our world as I read a statistic that 13% of people, let me say it in a better way, that this year 13% less people believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ than did believe last year. And I thought to myself about how sad it is that people don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, just as Thomas was unconvinced for 8 days until he finally was able to put his fingers within the hands and the side of Jesus to see, to be convinced of the reality of the life of Jesus Christ. But today my heart grieves, and I've got something of a bee in my bonnet here with the fact that people don't believe that Jesus rose from the grave. I think part of the reason people don't believe is because for them, it doesn't make any difference whether Jesus rose from the grave or not. There's no meaning or significance to the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And tonight I want to look at what the meaning and significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is. But first I want to read these words from Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. These words from the Apostle Paul, who encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, changed and transformed his life because he encountered the resurrected Jesus. It says, "But whatever things were gained to me in the past, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Paul died because of his faith. Why did Paul give up his life for his faith? It's simple. It's because in Jesus Christ, in the resurrected, living Jesus Christ, this man, Paul, found someone worth living for. And tonight, in Jesus Christ, in the living Lord Jesus Christ, we find someone worth living for. What's the meaning of the resurrection? The resurrection means that Jesus is a glorious, majestic, and worthy king. This world is filled with misconceptions about who Jesus is. Most people today believe that Jesus was no more than a man. Perhaps he was a good man. Perhaps he was a good teacher. A man for the history books who offers cute moral lessons on love, on peace, and on unity. Others of a more spiritual type, maybe a New Age type, suggest that Jesus tapped into some divine consciousness just better than the rest of us. But he is, in essence, no different than we are or we can be. These both are false views of Jesus and who he claimed to be. And those who hold these views of Jesus very often suggest that Jesus himself was not the problem, but it was his disciples who have made Jesus into some mythological figure. But is it true? Is what they're saying about Jesus, as you watch TV shows on Jesus, as you hear people talk about Jesus in conversation, is it true what they're saying about him? 11 of the 12 disciples who turned into apostles, they were persecuted, beaten, and killed because they believed so firmly in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Add Paul to that equation, a man who had hated Jesus, a man who was happy that Jesus was dead, but who nevertheless met the resurrected Jesus. Add Paul to this list of followers who died for Jesus, and we have at least 12 men who died because they would not back down. They would not backtrack. They would not lose their conviction or renounce their unshakable belief that they were eyewitnesses to the fact that Jesus Christ was killed on a cross. That Jesus Christ was buried in a tomb to rot. But instead, he did that which was unthinkable. He conquered the grave. He conquered death, and he walked, and he talked, and he ate, and he drank, and he showed himself to hundreds of his disciples that they might believe in him and live for him. So what does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean? Romans chapter 1 verse 4 says that his resurrection from the dead declared Jesus to be the Son of God. Romans 1 literally says that the resurrection marks out or defines Jesus as the Son of God. What does this mean? It means that the resurrection authenticates who Jesus said he was. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 58, before Abraham was. Before Abraham was, 2,000 years before Jesus walked on this earth, I am. Jesus claimed not to be a great teacher, not to be a good leader, not to be a good man. When Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, he was claiming that when we read in Genesis that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, he was claiming that it was him who was the creator. He was claiming that he always was in existence, always is in existence, and always will be in existence as the one true God. The one in whom all creation holds together this very moment. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead authenticates this claim. It makes this claim true, ring true, that the Son of God is Jesus. That Jesus is the resurrection and the life. The one who lives eternally. The one through whom all things that do live, like you and me, live. Jesus claims that he is not merely a man, even if a man to be admired is an inspiring example for us. He claimed to be the very Lord, the Jehovah who delivered the Hebrews miraculously from the hand of the Egyptians, the one who parted the Red Sea in two and led them to the Promised Land. And he claims that he also can deliver us from our slavery to sin through his death and into the land of his promise through his resurrected life. This means, the resurrection of Jesus Christ means that God so loved this world that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever would believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. No, not a man to be admired, but the Lord our God to be worshipped, the one to whom every knee will bow and every tongue confess. The resurrection means that Jesus is a glorious, majestic, and worthy King, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Redeemer. And so for us, brothers, tonight, the resurrection means that Jesus Christ is worth us living for. What's the meaning of the resurrection? The resurrection means that Jesus Christ is alive today. As you read about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you read in Luke chapter 24 that the women who had followed Jesus go to the tomb. And they're looking for Jesus and they're crying because somebody had taken Jesus out from the tomb. And it says two men in dazzling clothing, these angels, said to these women, Mary and Mary, I guess. I think there were three Marys. Three Marys. These angels say, why are you seeking the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Over the weekend, I saw somebody put up a post of a cartoon. There's this man talking to his family about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and his wife says to him, stop scaring the children with these zombie stories about Jesus. I thought to myself, well, first of all, what's a zombie? So I looked up what a zombie was. In the dictionary, it says that a zombie is the body of a dead person given the semblance of life. But a zombie is mute and has no will. And I thought about Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus teaches us that Jesus does not merely have the semblance of life. He doesn't just look like he's alive, but that he is the resurrection and the life. That he has always been life and always will be life, and the one through whom we can have life. No, this is not a zombie story. This is not a story about zombies getting up from the grave and doing scary things. This is a story to save zombies like you and me. Those of us who have the semblance of life, but don't have the fullness of life without Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus means that Jesus Christ is alive, that he lives, and he is not to be found in any tomb. Jesus is not stuck in the books of history like great leaders of the past who are dead, who have memorials built to them. Jesus is alive. Could you imagine a person giving up his life for a dead person like George Washington? Like Alexander the Great? If we were walking around and saying, I'm ready to die for George Washington, you would laugh at me, right? But because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead and is alive, and because he brings life to those who believe in him, you would be a fool not to give up your life for him. The resurrection means that Jesus Christ is worth us living for. So what's the meaning of the resurrection? The resurrection means that we who believe will live. Today we tend to focus on the cross of Jesus Christ, his death, his crucifixion. And this world has a really easy time believing in the crucifixion. Everybody dies, right? It's not hard to believe that Jesus was put on a cross and died. The hard part is to believe that he was raised from the grave. But it wasn't the death of Jesus that the apostles like Paul and Peter staked their life on and died for, but rather the resurrection of Jesus. This is because without the resurrection, Jesus' death was just another death. An inspirational death, to be sure, but not a transformational death. In fact, Paul believed this so strongly, he wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, that if Christ has not been raised from the dead, if the resurrection story is just a myth that people made up, Paul says your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. And Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1 that we are born again to a living hope. He doesn't say through the crucifixion of Jesus. He says we are born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our new life comes not in his death, but in his resurrected life. In his death, we can die to ourselves and to our sins, but in his life, we can walk in newness of life, as Romans chapter 6 says. And not only do we gain spiritual life through the resurrection, we gain our own physical life after we die, when our bodies will be resurrected. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that Jesus is the first fruits of the dead, which simply means that there are more fruits to come. There's second and third and fourth fruits. It means that believers in Jesus Christ will be brought back to newness of life, into new and glorious and pain-free, sickness-free, death-free bodies. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means that we who believe are alive. It means that we live in newness of life. And this, my brothers, means that Jesus Christ is worth living for. The resurrection means that we can live through pain, through sorrows, through trials, through temptations, through any difficulty. As I talked about before, the apostles suffered much for the cause of Christ. And they constantly encourage us that, as Peter says, though for a little while, we will encounter various trials. That, as Paul says, our afflictions are momentary and they're light, in contrast to the eternal joy and the weight of glory that awaits us. The resurrection of Jesus is simply his first stroke against evil in this world. The resurrection strikes at the heart of humankind's greatest problem, death. The resurrection is the first stroke against the chief penalty of our sin, for as it says in Genesis, if Adam eats of the forbidden tree, he will surely die. And he ate, and he surely died. But the strike against death is not Jesus' final stroke. The resurrection of Jesus means that all of those things which cause us pain, that cause us difficulties, sorrows, and tears, all these things will be done away with. The resurrection teaches us that all we have made not good and bad in our sin, he is working to recreate, to once again make very good. That the end of the story will mirror the beginning of the story. It will say, in the end, God recreated the heavens and the earth. And we all saw that it was once again very good. The resurrection means that there is a new sheriff in town. A new kingdom is coming. A new order is being served. And this life with its miseries, with its pains and difficulties and deaths, it's all passing away and being done away with by the power of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And this means, my brothers, that Jesus Christ is worth living for. And so we come back to this passage that I read at the beginning from Philippians chapter 3. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means that these words which Paul writes should be our words, can be our words, and must be our words. That we count all things that were dear to us to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord, for whom we must suffer the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, but trash, so that we may gain Christ, that we might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that we may attain to the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means that he is worth living for, that he is worth giving up our lives for, that he is worth our living sacrifice. The resurrection means that living for him is worth dying for, and dying for him is worth living for. It means that all of our dreams, all of our desires, all of our goals apart from him are worthless in comparison to the surpassing value of gaining and knowing Christ in the power of his resurrection. Jesus Christ, the resurrected and living Jesus Christ, is worth living for.